Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome back to A Servant's Heartbeat. Thank y'all for listening and allowing me to share my heartbeat for the kingdom of God with you. My name is Kristen, and let's get today's devotion going. So before we do, it has been a little bit since we have given some thank yous to our listeners. So I was reminded the other day, we've been doing this podcast for 6 months. We started back in February of this year. And I can recall recording a few episodes and then sitting down and just kind of looking over the stats to see where you guys are listening from. And starting out, it was just, you know, us, those that are local in Nacogdoches and Lufkin. And as time has gone by over the past 6 months, it has been amazing to look at the list of the locations that you guys are listening from. So it means a lot to us, for sure. For sure. So no surprise that Texas is our number one state. So go, my fellow Texans. Our next listening state on the list, with the most listens, that is Mississippi. So thank y'all out there. And then number three ends up being Oklahoma. So quite a few listeners from Oklahoma. And then if we make our way down the list, the next two are Florida and Virginia. So thanks. I think that was five states. But thank y'all. It means a lot to us. Means a whole lot to even realize that we have listeners outside of the United States. So top five there are Denmark, Spain, United Kingdom, India, and Australia. So thank y'all. It's humbling. It's amazing. It's exciting to look at this list and see it grow, or how it has grown over the past 6 months. So thank y'all for joining us on this journey. I'm enjoying every bit of it. All right. So today's podcast is a smidget different than what we have done before. We'll do a devotion, and then this devotion really got me to thinking about a book that I had read that has been a huge encouragement to me, I guess really for a couple of years now since I've read it a few years ago. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, so I guess this is kind of like a book review with it too. We're just going to call it that. So yes, we'll start with the devotion and then talk a little bit about this book that I want to share with you. So, to get rolling, think with me for a moment here. Have you ever seen something that you wanted in the store on display? Like, think about Walmart or IKEA or something. And it looks nice. You know, you can already imagine the perfect place to put this thing in your house. So maybe it's a piece of furniture, some tables, a decor, chairs, whatever. But you come to reality and you notice that the box it comes in reads assembly required, meaning you've got to put every single piece that's inside that box together. And thankfully, these boxes usually come with directions. And those directions will tell us how to put this item together, how it is to be assembled. And we're glad, well, maybe some of us are glad, when we read that instructions are included. You know, without them, we'd be lost, or only some of us would be lost. But in the back of our minds, we're perhaps thinking, how long is this going to take me to put together? Matter of fact, who could help me put this together? And do I even want to bother with trying to put this together, because I got to have the right tools? And now that I'm thinking about it, where is my toolkit? You know, it's all these things maybe begin running through your mind. You know, it'd be so much easier if these things just came already assembled, right? But nevertheless, we get that box home and take out all the pieces and the instructions. And now we need some tools and some careful attention to these instructions to put everything together. So when it comes to reading assembly required, here are some things that we know. We are attempting to bring something together in a particular place for a particular purpose. And it involves a fitting together of individual parts. Some parts are smaller and bigger than others. And sometimes we can look at an idea like assembly required and get a better understanding when we think about what something is not. It kind of helps us understand what something really is. So when we're talking about assembly, it is not to break up, to disband, to disperse, or to split up. Assembly implies there's an ordered union. It's intentional. This didn't just happen on accident. We are coming together. We are putting something together on purpose. Maybe the verse that comes to your mind as I'm talking is from Hebrews chapter 10, where it mentions forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. Something happens when we assemble. By assembling ourselves in fellowship after church, we get to know one another on a level perhaps that couldn't happen any other way. We become a closer knit church family. And something happens when we get assembled together in a time of consecration. Maybe you have set a group of people together and you want to pick a fast day or a time of prayer to assemble together intentionally for a purpose. Something happens when we're assembled together in prayer. We are a church body. Every person is a vital piece of what is taking place to put this thing together. We are the church. For us here in Nacogdoches, we assemble together on Sundays and Tuesdays and Thursdays, and sometimes the days in between them too. But I think that we could all agree that assembling is more than just showing up to that event or whatever and saying, I'm here. But there's an active, God-given role that I can step into for this assembling process. Now, there are examples in Scripture about how God wants his people to be assembled or gathered together. But for our topic today, I want to zero in on assembling in prayer. Assembling in prayer. So, Acts chapter 4, verse 31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness." So going back to that earlier thought, something happens when we are assembled together in fellowship and consecration, and more specifically, in prayer. Because according to this verse, something happens, specifically a shaking, when we can become assembled in prayer. Now, I don't think that I am alone in the feeling and the desire to have my prayers shake some things up in my life for the better. And to be honest with you, and to be real, you know, there are days, moments, even seasons when me and my prayer life, we are on the struggle bus, you know? And I may experience some times or feel like I'm distant from God, like I'm praying and my prayers are hitting the ceiling. Perhaps I've had moments where I have walked into pre-service prayer and felt like a complete stranger. I'm not sure what to do or where to begin in prayer. How do I begin to approach God? And if you can identify with any of that, just know that you are not alone in those feelings. My aim today is to emphasize this point. God wants us to be assembled together. And sometimes we can feel like the piece of that assembly with no purpose or no calling. But we all have a call to prayer. And I would say that it's through prayer that we not only draw closer to God, but closer to understanding our purpose in the church. God, help me to be effective. So as a whole, we become one mighty group of prayer warriors when we are assembled together in prayer. Pastor has said this many times, the engine of the church is not our singing, preaching, or events. The engine of the church is prayer. And over the years, I have come to appreciate teaching on prayer. You know, nobody is trying to reinvent the wheel here, but sometimes you just need a fire lit back in you, or a desire and hunger for prayer reignited. And in my personal time of studying, I have come across several books on prayer, and there is one in particular that has presented some principles and ideas that have really stuck out or stuck with me over the years. So here's where we're going to transition into our book review or summary, if you will, part of the podcast. And I think just because of what I've heard before, this is the part of the episode where you say this is not sponsored. I was not paid to say this. No, I am simply sharing my thoughts and how they connect with the topic of assembling in prayer. So Bishop Joel Holmes out of North Little Rock, Arkansas, has taught on the 6 steps to prayer. And this can be found in 2 books, to my knowledge, perhaps more, but he has a very short read on a book simply titled The 6 Steps to Prayer. But then there's another book that has a dedicated chapter to the principles of the 6 Steps to Prayer. And it's actually one of my favorite books. It's titled 10 Camels, Lessons in Living the Good Life. Again, I'm not being paid to say this, I'm just sharing. But I will put the links to both of those books in the episode notes if you are interested in looking into these afterwards. Okay, so 6 steps to prayer, because we want to be assembled together in prayer, but what if my prayer fire is not ignited? Well, here are some things that I can try to put into place. So number one is an attitude of prayer, an attitude of prayer. So Bishop Holmes mentions, when we begin this walk with God, it's almost like our lives get reprogrammed, if you will. We stop running on the I'm in control program and submit to God's program. Our desires change and begin to align with His. Our taste buds begin to change. And in this case of talking about prayer, our attitude for prayer begins to change. So one example he gives is in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed always. Now that always seems like, man, just that's a big word, you know? So for him to pray always, he would have had to have an attitude toward prayer. Our aim should be to cultivate, or to work at with intention, an attitude of prayer. Basically come into the understanding that there's never a time that's out of line to pray, nor is there ever a moment that's out of line or out of order for me to consider God. So an attitude of prayer is really just acknowledging God in every way that I can. It's almost getting my mindset ready to consider Him all the time. He talks about how if our desire for prayer lacks, man, pray, Lord, give me an attitude for prayer. One of the things that he mentions also in this section is that we want to be always in a frame of mind to pray. And you're thinking, man, I got 110 things running through my mind. And sometimes when I get down to pray, I don't even know what to say. And I have totally felt that way myself before. And he mentions this, and we had just talked about this 2 weeks ago, I think, when we did our Psalms podcast. But he makes reference to Psalms chapter 1 and meditating on the word. So again, I can't tell you how many times I have found myself trying to have an attitude of prayer, but I can't even find the words to say. So when I don't know what to say, I can begin to pray the word. And Psalms chapter 1 is an amazing place to get started. So, an attitude of prayer. The next thing he mentions is step 2, which is gleaning prayers, also referred to as short prayers. And I would say a lot of us do this already, but after reading this, I feel a little bit more challenged, if I can say it that way, to make an intentional effort to do more. In short, every time the thought of God comes to mind, pray. Morning prayer never has to end. It's not something I clock in and out of. But I'll continue with gleaning prayers throughout the day that keep me in close contact with God. It's something to keep my mind conditioned with right things. He didn't mention this in this chapter, but I thought about that song that begins, "All day long, I've been with Jesus." That's my aim. I want that to be my goal and my intention, a spirit of prayer that continues throughout the day, not just when I'm at the house, but when I go to work, when I go to school, when I go to Walmart, wherever, you know, just keeping God on my mind and a short prayer that just acknowledges him. At least for me, and I think he mentions this in the book, it's that constant praying and constant praying without ceasing that takes away the awkward feeling when I'm trying to approach God. This feels familiar, you know, it's just like it makes getting into the presence of God easier the more I glean in my prayer time and try to stay in communion with him as much as I can. Prayer is no longer a foreign place. It is a familiar place to me. All right, so that's gleaning prayers. I'm telling you, y'all, it's a good book. All right, so this third step that he talks about is praise and fellowship. He talks about getting alone with God takes time. You don't make best friends with somebody in a crowd, but it's going to take some one-on-one time together. And he puts emphasis on believing in fellowship with God. Basically, he died for this. So often, God may feel far away and our prayers seem unheard, but I want to aim for a confidence in believing that God wants to have a relationship and fellowship with me. And maybe sometimes we're okay in the praise department of prayer, because we are talking about who God is, my Savior, my healer. He's great. He's mighty. But then we get a little personal when we get into that realm of togetherness with him. It's oh so sweet when this can be felt, but I want to be confident that God is for me and right here with me. Believe when you get up in the morning to pray, that God's waiting on me, waiting on you in that chosen place of prayer. And that stirs something in me to know that when my feet hit the floor, when I have hopped out of bed or rolled out of bed because I'm tired, that even though I'm tired, even though I'm fighting through the gunk in my eyes because I slept so hard, that my Lord is waiting to meet with me, because he desires to be in a relationship with me. He mentions in the book that seeking God combined with a mindset of praise can bring about a fellowship with the Lord God Almighty. Be confident that God is for me and helping me. And this part wasn't in the book, but as I began to chew on this, I got to thinking about some of the hindrances that we can face in this area at least for me, and perhaps some of you too, when it comes to the praise and fellowship part and believing that God wants to talk and spend time with me, something that I can struggle with is worth. Who am I that God would want to fellowship with this crazy kid? You know? But God is well aware of my resume, my qualifications, and the lack thereof. Sometimes I find myself in complete awe and amazement when I can stop and step back and think, He loves me. And as we grow and we learn about embracing that love, embracing His grace and mercy, don't none of us deserve it. But we can learn to embrace and believe with a strong confidence that He desires a fellowship, a relationship with each of us. And I want to get a hold of that in my prayer life. All right, so the fourth principle he mentions is earnest prayer. Bishop Holm talks about that the earnest prayer is a fervent prayer. It's mentioned in James 5:16. He talks about that his goal when he comes to prayer is that he won't need a situation to drive him to a place of prayer. But his prayer is what can drive situations. In other words, yes, if there is a need, I may be led to pray. But that need shouldn't be the driving force or only reason I pray. I've got to find something deep within me beyond the needs that longs for prayer. Whether there is a need or no need, I'm going to pray. And it's that kind of prayer that begins to drive situations rather than me being reactive to prayer. I guess it's a proactive approach. And situations are not driving me to prayer. I'm already there. Another thing that he mentions in this section, he says it feels a whole lot better when you face sickness, death, and financial problems, whatever it may be, with a prayer life already going. Basically, in the midst of the storm, you can say, one thing I know is that I've been praying. And it's that helps us through those storms. You know, I don't want to wait till the storms of life come for me to find a prayer life. I want to already be pursuing moments and times with the Master, whether I'm in a storm or not. Earnest prayers. All right, so principle five that he mentions is praying in the Spirit. And I feel like he gave a really good example here that helps kind of get a picture of what this looks like, I guess. So he mentions that trying to explain to somebody how to pray in the Spirit is like trying to explain to someone how to swim. You can't really explain it with your words. That person just has to get in the water and start working those arms and working those legs. And I am taking back to memories of somebody trying to teach me how to swim. So yeah, that makes sense, you know? But he mentions the verse in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. The Spirit that has unlimited power, unlimited vision and understanding and knowledge, I don't have to understand. I just have to become that channel that God can flow through. He also makes reference to the scripture in Jude about building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And what really got me in this part of the chapter is that he ties all of this in with the altar. And we just talked about the altar last week in our podcast, but he says, anytime you are praying and want to go deeper in the Spirit, you want to feel more, put yourself on the altar. Die out to self saying, here I am, Lord. Pray to me. Use me. I want to be what you want me to be. It all begins with a breaking of that wheel and a breaking of my flesh. And reading that really got me on a quest to truly fall back in love with the altar. That's where things change. That's where renewing happens, restoring happens. Need is in all caps. I need an altar in my life. No exceptions and no replacements. If I want to pray in the Spirit, I need an altar in my life. So the final step that he mentions is memorial prayers. Now, some prayers are immediate prayers. You pray and it's answered. Other times, he refers to them as long-range prayers, and those are built through a continual prayer life. He presents in this section a goal that we are to work on our prayer life until it becomes a part of us. Prayer is a lifestyle. I don't clock in and out of prayer. I have a prayer life. This is a part of my lifestyle. He encourages to just keep sowing. You know, he admits that there are some times in prayer that we get discouraged. It may seem like the birds are stealing the seeds that we are sowing, but keep on planting. And I don't know that he mentions this part, but in my mind, I'm thinking prayer is what keeps me planted by those rivers of water. Cornelius's prayer was a memorial before God, something he had built from a daily prayer life. My memorial prayers are not built on my wants and needs alone, but I want to have that mindset of relationship in mind when I'm coming to God daily. And how do I build a prayer life? How do I build a memorial before God? One prayer at a time. One moment at the altar at a time. I'm doing this because I love him and I want a fellowship and relationship with him. Prayer isn't based solely on needs. It's not my wish list. Again, I do this because I love him and I want a relationship with him. And Bishop Holm also mentions that the more we pray, the more we are spending time in those memorial prayer moments, the more transparent we become, and God begins to shine through us. After reading this section, I was reminded of a message I've heard by Brother Verbal Bean, and he explained memorial prayers like this. It's keeping on making those payments, if you will, and one day God's going to respond with paid in full. So keep on making those payments in prayer. So this summary that we just went through of these six steps of prayer is only a summary of one chapter out of the book titled 10 Camels. So definitely a recommended read, something that you could add to your library. Again, links to the two books that have this in it are in the episode notes. All right, so to bring all this together, our focus in the beginning was on assembly required. God wants us to be assembled together in prayer. And we have just reviewed some things that could possibly help get our prayer reignited or put some more fire in that desire when I'm coming to prayer. And I may not have a clue what I am called to do in the kingdom of God, but this I do know, I have a call to prayer. Every item and tool, utensil, whatever you want to call it, serves a purpose in the assembling process. Every piece has to be taken into the hand of the master builder and used as an instrument and connecting piece to perform the task, to do something for the kingdom of God. And we've all heard the phrase, the hand of God is on his or her life. Well, I'm telling you, I want the hand of God on my life. I want him guiding me, leading me to the place where I can contribute effectively to the work of the kingdom of God. And one of my greatest contributions to this assembling process is in my availability in prayer.